Gunadikam mudam lipsed. Anukrosham gunadamat. Maitrim samanad anvichen. Natapair abibuyate. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we find someone equal, we become very proud of our activities. These are the causes of all material tribulations. The great sage Narada Muni therefore advised that a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to less qualified men, we should be compassionate toward him, just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's own activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for the people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. Today we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text Number 34 of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home. Today is the first day of Kartik, according to our Gaudiya Vaishnav calendar. This evening we are celebrating Sharad Purnima, or the Rasa Yatra of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. The Braja Gopis, they renounced all of their attachments, even their worldly relationships, specifically and exclusively to give pleasure to Krishna. They left their comfortable homes with all the protection of their family members to enter into the dark, deep forests, where many dangers were lurking, simply to give pleasure to Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that this sense of renunciation is the ultimate expression of love. And in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, all sannyasis or those in the renounced order, their ultimate standard of renunciation and dedication is the gopis of Vrindavan. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see a similar pastime in regard to Dhruva Maharaj. Actually, women and children always need to be protected, because otherwise they are endangered by the environment of material existence. That is why gopis, being very simple, dependent ladies, it was such an incredible act of fearless devotion for them to leave everything and enter the forest. Dhruva Maharaj was only a child, hardly 5 years of age. But in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also left home. The very beautiful comforts of the palace of his father, Maharaj Uttanapada, all the protection of a kingdom, all alone he went deep into the dangerous jungles to see Krishna. The gopis, they were already on the highest level of spiritual perfection. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The ultimate goal of life is to love Krishna. Purushartha Siromani. To love Krishna is the crest jewel of all attainments. Dhruva had no love for Krishna. He was severely smitten by the pangs of material existence. For a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death, more painful than anything. For one who is in a Kshatriya race, we see in Mahabharata, when arrows are stuck in their bodies and they're pounded on the head with gigantic bludgeon clubs, they don't mind. They really don't mind. But if they're insulted, if they're dishonored, unbearable. Cannot tolerate it. Many examples of this. So Dhruva Maharaj, how he was suffering this adibhotika, miseries caused by another. And the nature of the world is those people who are nearest and dearest to you have the capacity to cause you the greatest pain. If some stranger told Dhruva Maharaj, you should not sit on the throne with your father, he would have probably just laughed. But it was his own stepmother. And in Vedic culture, it was an intimate family. His stepmother was a very important part of his life. She was very dear to his father, and he loved his father. So when she spoke these words to him, it was like a blazing dagger piercing his tender heart. He couldn't bear it. He went running to his mother, because who else does a 5-year-old child run to? His mother was a devotee, a great devotee. And she was actually Paradukaduki. Devotees are compassionate to those who suffer. Perhaps seeing Dhruva Maharaj in that condition, her heart was broken with pain, more so than Dhruva. That is the nature of love. If you actually love someone, if that person is suffering, seeing that suffering will cause you more pain than that person. Love means service. Love means taking on the burden of another person's condition. Srila Prabhupada, he was such a loving person. He took on the burden of so much. And when one of his devotees left the practice of Krishna consciousness due to his own egoistic ideas, and he was actually offending Srila Prabhupada, going against his teachings, and even trying to influence other people to go against his teachings, his own disciples, Srila Prabhupada, to protect the innocent, he had to take a very hard stand. He should not be allowed in the temples. He should not be listened to. However, when that person returned and surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada embraced him and revealed his heart. That every day, Prabhupada said, I was crying and praying to Krishna to bring you back. That person was thinking he was trying to enjoy a position, but Srila Prabhupada was suffering. Suffering to see his ignorance. Praying with great intensity. Bring my son back, please, Krishna. So this is Vaishnav. The heart of a Vaishnava is that of compassion, concern, and love. And all of our learning, all of our particular positions in our devotional service are all meant simply to facilitate and also to develop higher degrees of these devotional attitudes. Without this, even if one has everything else, is not really pleasing to Krishna. So, Dhruva Maharaj's mother, how much she was willing to sacrifice for the sake of her son. Do you know how much she loved Dhruva Maharaj? Only a 5-year-old child. How she wanted to protect him, she wanted to embrace him, she wanted to feed him, she wanted, her whole life was for him. But she was actually concerned with his real welfare. Therefore, she didn't try to simply pacify him by some materially comforting words. She told him that if one takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can save that person from all distress. He can fulfill all that person's desires. After receiving this instruction from his mother, Dhruva Maharaj left home to enter into the deep, dark, dangerous forest all alone. That was a major sacrifice of his mother to give him that instruction. She could have given him any other instruction and kept her loving, beautiful child home. But she spoke the truth. And she had to suffer the burden of Dhruva leaving. But it was her pleasure, because she knew it was the best thing for her son. That is love. Lust is selfish. Love is selfless. Love is simply for the benefit, the pleasure of the object of love. Lust has all those attributes, but its real ultimate purpose of giving pleasure to the other is that I will receive pleasure myself. There's actually a fine line of understanding the differentiation between love and lust. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains that it is like iron and gold. They're both metal. Prabhupada says, according to metallurgy, that they're both metals. They're really both one. They're just different varieties of the same thing. However, the difference of the value is inconceivable. Love is the nature of the soul. To selflessly give one's body, mind, words, and life for the pleasure of Krishna. Selflessly. When the false ego enters into that pure state, it becomes lust. And we become the center. Our enjoyment becomes the goal. I'll give you pleasure because it gives me pleasure. The gopis of Vrindavan, they were the opposite. They were telling Krishna that we will enjoy pleasure because that will give you pleasure. This is very important to understand. If someone loves you, they're more concerned with your pleasure than their own. So if you want to give that person happiness, you will express so much pleasure that you're receiving, not because you want to be pleased, but because that will give your object of love pleasure. Gopis were saying, please, Krishna, place your lotus feet on our bodies to burn the fire of lust in our hearts. And materialistic people think, very much sensual ladies. But the acharyas teach us, you know, what is the real sentiment of gopis? They didn't care about their own pleasure. But when they offered these prayers to Krishna, and when Krishna saw that he was giving them so much pleasure, that gave him so much pleasure. It's like a parent to a child. When the parent sees that the child is happy, parent becomes happy. If the parent sees the child is miserable serving the parent, that doesn't give the parent happiness. But if he sees that the child is blissful doing the will of the parent, that gives great happiness. Just like
when Srila Prabhupada would come and speak Srimad Bhagavatam class. If devotees were falling asleep, or talking, or walking, that means they weren't really deriving any internal spiritual satisfaction hearing his class. That was not a way to please him. But when he saw devotees awake, attentive, intense, reciprocating, really benefiting, really finding internal pleasure and satisfaction, that brought him great, great pleasure, because he just lives for us. And we just live for him. Similarly, the devotees that loved Srila Prabhupada, when they saw that he was sick, or he was upset, or he was disturbed, that was devastating to their hearts. But when they saw that Srila Prabhupada was happy with what was happening, that was the only pleasure we knew. That is love. That is reciprocation. Selflessness. And this was Dhruva Maharaja's mother's mood. So he went to the forest. And it is said that by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. So Krishna, in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, saw his sincerity. Although his desire was material, he wanted a kingdom greater than his father and grandfather, just to avenge the suffering that he endured. But still, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udarati tivrena bhakti yogina yajeta purushampara. He was approaching Krishna. If he was approaching a demigod, Narada Muni would not have come. But because he was approaching Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna sent his representative, Sri Narada Muni, to come. And Narada Muni, a great Vaishnav in the renounced order of life, he didn't want to give Dhruva Maharaj a kingdom greater than his grandfather. He tricked him. That's preacher. Preachers have to be tricky sometimes. But that trickiness should not be misused for our own sense gratification or for our own popularity or for our own glorification. It should be used as an act of real compassion. 26 Second Avenue, devotees would come. Srila Prabhupada would have big jars of gulab jamuns that he personally would prepare with so much love and devotion. And he put that extra love and devotion because he knew how much these fallen souls needed mercy. Can you imagine? This is just a thought. When Srila Prabhupada was offering that food to Krishna and to his Guru Maharaj, how much he must have been praying, please put so much of your prasad, your mercy in this, that it will deliver these maleshas and yavanas. How much faith he had in that prasad. And people who didn't care about anything, he would just give them weak supply of gulab jamuns, knowing for certain that that person will come back to get more. And that one person that I'm thinking of, he became one of the most confidential, important associates of Srila Prabhupada. He came for gulab jamuns. But by association with a Paramhamsa Vaishnav, by taking Krishna's prasad, and to get the gulab jamun, he had to sit through the class in the kirtan also. He became transformed. He became a devotee. So Narada Muni, Srila Prabhupada really followed in footsteps of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, Dhruva Maharaj wanted these material things, but he was willing to approach Krishna. So Narada Muni gave him these instructions that we are reading today. First, he told him, constantly chant the holy names. Day and night, constant. Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is taking place in Satya Yuga. And the most powerful Maha Mantra of Satya Yuga is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Offering obeisances to Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, and the ultimate object of everyone's love. He also taught him how to do deity worship. Simple form, but he taught him how to do it with such devotion and care. Make a deity out of the clay, and how to make offerings to the deity, how to bow down to the deity, how to please the deity. He also told him how to meditate on the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he explained very elaborately the form of Lord Narayan and how to meditate on the Lord. Because that was the Yuga Dharma of the Satya Yuga. And he told him to go to the holy place of Vrindavan in the forest of Madhuban on the bank of the river Jamuna and to regularly take bath in Jamuna. In this particular verse, he is giving an essential instruction. If one does all these other things, meditating on Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, living in Vrindavan Dham, worshiping the deity, performing such renunciation of hardly eating, hardly sleeping, if we actually want to make spiritual advancement, we have to please Krishna. All of these activities are simply meant for pleasing Krishna. Because on the path of bhakti, our progress is 100% dependent on pleasing Krishna. And Krishna is pleased most by our service attitude toward other living beings. Therefore, Narada Muni is giving these instructions. And at the end of the instruction, he says, in this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. The instructions are basically the essential principles of Vaishnav etiquette. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srila Sanatana Goswami that the observance of Vaishnav etiquette is the ornament that attracts Krishna. And when that ornament is worn by the devotee, Krishna bestows unlimited mercy upon him. Etiquette means how to reciprocate with other living beings of different categories. First of all, he explains that when a devotee meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. This is very difficult in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. The entire cosmic atmosphere is permeated with the tendency to be envious. Srila Prabhupada here explains that generally in this age of Kali, and actually anywhere in this material world at any time, the tendency is when someone is more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of them. We want to take their positions. This is the idea of competition of the material existence. Where does that envy come from? If we want to dislodge the anartas or unwanted qualities from our hearts, we have to understand scientifically and philosophically what is the cause. Just like a weed. If you cut down a weed, it will grow back. And sometimes the more it's cut, it grows back stronger and stronger and stronger. You just keep cutting the weeds and it just keeps coming back and back and back, bigger and more gruesome than ever. But when you cut the weed, you don't see it. It appears it is gone, but it comes back. Similarly, we see that impersonalists, they may perform such intense austerities. Vishwamitra Muni, no one can perform the type of tapasya he did. But the seeds of material desire were still, those weeds were still within his heart. Although nothing was manifest, they were in his heart. And the tinkling of the bangles and ankle bells of Menaka Devi was just the nourishing water to make those seeds, weed seed, just sprout, fully flourishing. He didn't understand what is the root cause of material desire. The root cause of envy toward other living beings is the ahankar. The nature of false ego is it is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If you have no envy for Krishna, you cannot possibly envy anyone or anything. If you love Krishna, you love everyone. If you envy Krishna, you are potentially envious of anyone. And what is the cause of being envious of God? Why envy Krishna? He's providing everything for us. The air, the sun, the water, the food. He's provided our body, our intelligence, all of our abilities. He's providing everything. Why are we envious of him? Because to the degree you want to enjoy selfish desire, to that degree you must be envious of Krishna. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He's the only enjoyer. He is Purusha. We are Prakriti by our constitutional nature. Prakriti means the substance to be enjoyed by Purusha. But when we want to exploit rather than serve, that creates an environment of envy.
A devotee is so pleased when he hears Krishna glorified, so pleased when he hears other devotees glorified. But the material conception of life wants to be glorified myself. That's due to envy. We're trying to take what is for Krishna. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Everything is meant for Krishna. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. He's the proprietor. So as long as we want to be the proprietor and we want to be the enjoyer, we are envious. So a devotee has to analyze and contemplate his own internal situation very carefully. Otherwise, we act very recklessly, create offenses, and cause havoc in our own spiritual lives. Although we may get some popularity, we may get some recognition, we may get facility, we may get power, but internally, for these cheap, temporary, illusory things, we're giving up our eternal relationship with God. It's not worth it. When we are envious toward another, the tendency is to bring that person down, directly or indirectly, according to our capacity. Or if we have very little capacity at all, we'll just steam inside with envy. And that steam has to leak out sometime or another. Now we see today, envy creates hatred. In today's scenario of the contemporary news, we were gently discussing last night, people in the name of God are hating others. They hate. They want to see them tortured and killed. What does that mean? Hatred is born of envy. That means, in the name of God, they're actually envious of God himself. Vehemently envious of God. And yet, so clever that they not only convince themselves, but they convince others that their envy and hatred is a service to God and that they're great saints, they're worshipable. But that same demoniac tendency in different levels is in all of us. And you could become like that too. If many, many births, you just serve your envious propensities. So when we feel this envy in our heart, we should analyze, where is the root coming from? I have to pull it out from the root. It's because I'm envious of Krishna. It's because I want to enjoy. And how do we deal with that? Through the process of devotional service. If you don't feed a weed, it's going to die. When a weed is very strong and well-nourished, it's very difficult to uproot it. Because those roots are so strong, they're just clinging to the soil beneath it. But if you starve a weed, it becomes weak, both above and below the ground. And then you could easily pull it up. Maybe not easily, but it's possible. So if we want to uproot this envious tendency in our hearts, we have to not give in to its dictations. Maya, speaking through our envious condition, is dictating for us to offend others, to be sorry when we see other people's prospering, and to be jolly when that person falls down. Lord Chaitanya told one Brahmin in Navadvip that to criticize a devotee is to drink poison with your mouth. Criticism of a Vaishnava is poison. Now, the standard traditional way of administering poison to someone is through their mouth. They drink it. Yes? And the standard way of taking proper medication is through the mouth. So criticizing a devotee means putting poison in your mouth. It will kill your spiritual propensities. There's only one antidote, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to glorify Krishna and glorify his devotees. Because the glorifying of Krishna and his devotees is amrita, it is nectar. That nectar will undoubtedly neutralize the effects of the poison and give us eternal spiritual life. And by doing this, we actually express to Krishna that we really want to give up our envy. We really want to please him according to his condition, not according to our own. Our condition is, I will please Krishna by conquering others and taking their position and becoming very great. But Krishna's condition is trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahadi. Krishna's condition of how to please him is to become more humble than a blade of grass, tolerant like that of a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and care nothing for respect for oneself. In that state of mind, we can actually chant the holy names constantly. As we become a little more spiritual advanced, we can detect our progress by this criteria. Srila Prabhupada, in different times, explained in different ways the barometer of spiritual advancement. One way we can understand that we're making spiritual progress is the fever of the disease to enjoy sense gratification is reducing. And our enthusiasm to hear and chant the glories of the Lord is increasing. Another very essential barometer to calculate our spiritual progress is to the degree we are pleased to see the success of others rather than feeling pained and threatened by the success of others. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves and we find that we are less qualified, we become very pleased by that situation, not envious. This is the instruction of Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. That is humility.
the tendency of a conditioned soul. When we meet someone less than ourselves, less qualified, then we want to make sure that that person remains less qualified forever. We don't want that person to catch up and run ahead of me. We don't want that person to get more recognition and respect in the eyes of the world. Yes, we are compassionate. We will try to raise people up, but only to a certain level. Then we have to keep them there. Otherwise, they will overstep me. They'll be greater than me. Then they become my enemy. Hare Krishna.
But the quality of a devotee is when we see someone less qualified, we want them to lift them up to the highest platform. Also, sometimes we see wealthy caste of people, they deride the poor people. Look at how filthy, dirty they are. Look at the kind of places they live, and look at me. Or the educated people, intoxicated by the pride of their advanced material intelligence and academic credibility. They think, look at that person. Can't even chant one sloka properly. I can chant 10,000 slokas in perfect Sanskrit. Look at that person. Dropped out of high school. I have master's degree in college. So we think ourselves better. And we deride. We're the Brahmins. I am Brahmin. I am guru of society. You are Shudra. Shudra means don't let your shadow touch me, or I'll have to jump in the Ganges to take bath to preserve my pristine integrity. Hare Krishna. Or Malechas and Yavanas. Srila Prabhupada was such an example of this. While so many Goswamis and Brahmins, they were actually condemning Srila Prabhupada. What is this? You're preaching to these Malechas and Yavanas? You're giving them sacred threads? You can't give them sacred threads. They're lowborn. They have to serve us. Then they can take their next birth, maybe, in our families. Hare Krishna. You know the story of the devotees, they went to Sri Radharaman temple. And they were seeing the deity, and they were very happy. And they were looking at the deity and praying to the deity with such devotion. And one of the Goswamis actually gave them a blessing. That because you are worshiping Radharaman with such sincere attention, in your next life, you will give up this Malecha birth you have now, and you will be born in the Goswami caste and worship Radharaman. And the devotees, they were so happy with this benediction, they came running back to Srila Prabhupada and told him the good news. And Prabhupada said, you go back and tell that person that if he worships Radharaman with pure devotion throughout his whole life, in his next birth, he will take birth in a Malecha family in the West to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission all over the world. Hare Krishna. So that was Prabhupada's compassion. He wasn't seeing who's high, who's low. He wanted to take the people who were downtrodden, and rather than deride them, he would praise them, he would encourage them, he would uplift them. That is Vaishnava etiquette, to be compassionate to the fallen, to be
a genuinely concerned, sincere servant of the fallen souls.
And a devotee in Krishna consciousness,
sometimes devotees fall down from the standard practices of Krishna consciousness. To simply deride that person is just false pride. We should be compassionate. We may have to tell people, don't associate because what he's speaking or what he's doing is not healthy for your spiritual life. Keep some little distance. But we shouldn't insult the person. We shouldn't deride the person. We should actually be doing everything within our powers to uplift them. We should be compassionate toward them. In the West, there are many different terminologies that have been created. There's a word called fringy. Did you ever hear this? In Bombay, you never heard of a fringy. That's very good. I shouldn't contaminate you with this, but I will. Just to protect you in case. It's a medicinal inoculation in case you ever hear it. You will not be affected by it. A person who's practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely, doing wonderful service for Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but then for whatever reason he steps back, maybe one step, two step, maybe 108 steps, maybe 10 million steps, different degrees, and they step back and they may not be chanting so much, they may not be following the regulative principles so strictly, they may be concentrating their minds on economic development rather than pure unalloyed devotional service. So that means they're devotees, but they're on the fringe. That means they're actually just outside the edge. They're not really internal personal associates like us. They're on the fringe. So therefore they are fringies. And actually to call someone a fringy is a terrible insult. Because those people who use that word are usually not saying like, you're a fringy, please come back to the center. It's like, fringy, outcast, don't let your shadow touch me. Hare Krishna. It's a way of deriding. Look at them. They're fallen. They're not following. They're not surrendered. And actually, that attitude keeps those people outside of the society of devotees. Treat them with love, treat them with concern, treat them with respect, whoever they are, for whatever they've done. And that's actually a way of giving them faith in the society of devotees, which is absolutely necessary for our spiritual strength. And they feel encouraged to come back. They want to come back. And that facilitates them becoming strong again. Today or tomorrow. But if we deride them, we're just keeping them away and making it almost impossible for them to come back. So what is compassion? Krishna never forgets anything a devotee has ever done for him. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, he would never forget anything that anyone has done to assist him in his mission to his Guru. And this means for all generations of devotees. Whether he's our father, our grandfather, our great-grandfather, whatever. Anything we have done to assist him in his mission to his Guru Maharaj, he will never forget that. There was one sannyasi, GBC, very powerful devotee, did a lot of service to Prabhupada, risked his life, endured so much difficulty to help Srila Prabhupada establish his society. in various countries of the world, due to past conditionings, weakness of heart, some spiritual laziness, maybe some apparads to others, the person actually left the society of devotees for some time, engaged in sinful activities, got married, had a child, and we all know what's required to have a child. Srila Prabhupada was asking for him. The person was ashamed to come near the Vaishnavas and ashamed to even face Srila Prabhupada. And so many devotees were blaspheming that person like anything. He's fallen, he's degraded, he's envious, he's a rascal. And that person just went farther and farther and farther away. But Prabhupada invited that devotee to come to see him. And when he came, Prabhupada actually gave gifts for that person to give his wife and child. Hare Krishna. Do you know what happened? The person started chanting his rounds again. May not have been in the same position he was, but started helping the society again. And today, he's doing wonderful service. That's compassion. We read about these qualities, but unless we see in the lives of great souls how they're applied in various situations, we don't really understand what it means. So philosophically, Srila Prabhupada was very strict. Recently, we're at New Vrindavan. We had a reunion. Some of the devotees are here that were there. And we were listening to a lecture Prabhupada gave. And Prabhupada, a devotee, said, what if we have some weakness of heart and we can't follow the principles? And Prabhupada was like a lion. He roared. What were the words? He said, you are, what was the word he used for the weakness? He said, weakness, rectify it. Don't talk about what to do with your weaknesses, rectify it. He was very strong. And that's what he expected of all of us. He wanted to keep everyone very, very strong and very, very strict. And he condemned breaking the principles and leaving the association of devotees. He condemned the principle because by violating that principle, you cause yourself pain and you cause others pain. But if someone violated that principle, he was always in such a loving and kind way, waiting for that person to just have the willingness to take even one step forward toward the book. And he just compassionately showered his love upon that devotee. This particular devotee I'm talking about, I recently was with some people who were there during this meeting. And all these big, big leaders who were surrendering their lives, sacrificing everything, strictly following all principles. Prabhupada didn't give them near as much time as he gave this person. Because he needed that compassion. Certainly doesn't mean he was more pleased, but that is the nature of mercy. So whether they are fallen devotees Or really, in one sense, devotees never really fall. They just take some vacation from the process for some time.
Because neha vikramana sosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatam.
Their spiritual advancement, whatever they've done, is still there. It's never lost. So yes, they fall. They fall from the recognition of who they are. But it's all still there waiting for them. It's like if you have 10 crores of rupees, but you forget where it is, you'll be living on the street like a beggar, starving. But actually, all that money is in your name, waiting for you. So when we commit offenses to Vaishnavas, when we are lazy in the execution of our sadhana, then there's a reaction. We forget who we are. We forget about all the spiritual progress we've made. And we just start acting in a very mundane way and thinking in a very mundane way and speaking accordingly. But actually, you're a wealthy man. But because you've forgotten your wealth, spiritually, you're living like a pauper. So in preaching, how to maturely apply the principle of compassion is a very, very delicate situation that we have to learn from Srila Prabhupada and the great souls. On one hand, you cannot compromise. You have to protect devotees from deviations. You have to point it out and not let them infiltrate. But at the same time, there also has to be compassion, love, concern. And the eagerness to bring that person back up. That is compassion. And this spirit must be applied in the lives of every devotee if we want to actually make real spiritual progress. And the third principle is, when a devotee meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains that we should make friends with our equals instead of being proud of one's own activities before him. We should treat him as a friend. Hare Krishna. What does treating as a friend mean? Friend means servant. Friend means one who really is willing to help you. Friend means one who's willing to assist you. Tendency in this world is when we meet equals, we want to show how on the cutting edge we are superior to them. Srila Prabhupada says the envious mentality is we cannot tolerate anyone being equal to or better than us. One of the offenses of the holy name is to think even the greatest of the demigods to be equal to or better than Krishna. So when we want to take the position of Krishna, we have that mentality. It's horrible. The principle of Vaishnava etiquette is not to try to impress people by glorifying our own activities, exaggerating our activities, or sometimes even manufacturing activities we never did. The ends justify the means. Hare Krishna. The end is, I want this person to think I'm a great soul. So whatever I have to do, whatever I have to say, the goal should be achieved.
So devotees should be more concerned with hearing the glories of others rather than glorifying themselves. And it really is Maya's trick, because in the association of mature, seasoned, mature devotees, they understand that one who boasts about his or her own accomplishments, if it's done in an egoistic way to show how great I am, how better I am, then amongst such genuine devotees, it has the absolute opposite effect. The more you brag about yourself, the less people will respect you. But the whole reason you're bragging is to get their respect. Hare Krishna. Why don't we figure that out? As we actually make spiritual advancement, when we praise our own qualities with ego, sometimes it just happens because it's our tendency. After we do it, we should actually feel filthy, dirty, and ashamed. What did I just do? I just discredited myself before the Vaishnavas and before the super soul in my heart. I cannot say with authority how much what I'm about to say is 100% a fact. However, by living by this principle, with this attitude, it will certainly help us to make great spiritual advancement. Should I say? Like this, that a devotee may think in his heart that whatever surrender, whatever great things I have done in the service of my Guru Maharaj, so much credit. When I boast to others about what I have done, that nullifies the credit of what was done. Certainly, to some extent, that is true. Krishna's in the heart. We see Madhavendra Puri. He didn't want any credit. He didn't want any attention. He did not want any respect from anyone. He avoided it like a plague. But yet, wherever he went, Krishna just revealed to everyone what a great personality he was. So he was just saying, I'm a most fallen soul. And everyone was saying, no, no, you are the greatest. We worship your lotus feet. Because Krishna was revealing. And he was just thinking, it's if you're proud of what you've done, then you'll be proud when people give you honor. But if you're humble and you understand I'm insignificant, somehow by the mercy of Guru and by the mercy of Krishna, causeless mercy, this has been done through a insignificant instrument like myself. If you think that way when you make an accomplishment, then when people praise you and honor you, you'll know it's not for me. It's for the power and the spirit of the mercy of Guru and Gauranga that actually did it.
I'm just an instrument.
If we follow these three principles, to be pleased when we meet someone more qualified than ourselves, when we are compassionate well-wisher to uplift those who are less qualified, and when we're actually friends, real well-wishers, servants of those who are on an equal level with us, then, according to Narada Muni, we will never be affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Then Krishna will empower our chanting of the holy name. He will empower our ability to speak his glories, not just with words, but with spiritual substance. And Dhruva Maharaj lived by these principles. And therefore, within only a matter of a few months, Lord Narayan personally appeared to him. And by seeing the beautiful lotus-eyed form of Lord Vishnu, all of his anartas, all of his separate interest were vanquished. Samsara dava nalalita loka tranaya karuna gunakanatva. Narada Muni, with his instructions, he extinguished the blazing fire of material existence within the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. And when that fire is extinguished, then the ecstatic, blissful nature of the soul becomes manifest. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions? There's no more clock, so I have no idea what is the time. It's too late for questions, because so much decoration will go on in the temple now. So we should end. Tonight, program begins at 5:00. There will be very sweet bhajans of the great acharyas. You should all come. It will prepare your consciousness to have the right attitude to worship Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And at 6:00, there will be some discussion on the topic of tonight's festival, Sarat Purnima. And at 7:00, that most illustrious moment we are all longing for will appear. The darshan of Sri Radha Gopinath in their Sarat Purnima Lila will manifest before your eyes. And anyone who opens their hearts with enthusiasm to meditate on the darshan that will take place tonight will reserve a place in the eternal pastimes of Radha Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And exactly when you arrive to take your reserved place will be according to how you follow the instructions of class today. Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo.